All right, thank you for that. Couple things before we get started here. Megan DaCosta got engaged on Friday, and so we're excited for her. Let's give her a hand. Typically, that means she'll be getting married sometime soon here, so that'll be great. Boy, it was a tremendous crowd. Thank you for your efforts. We had a really good crowd out yesterday, and this morning, we had a regular amount of chairs in here, and we had to pull out extra chairs. We really have only had to do that on Easter and I think our anniversary Sunday. Tremendous crowd this morning. Thank you for inviting people and being friendly and being aggressive with the gospel. And so thank you for that. I'm really excited as we get into the fall. People get into a routine, and we can really get after it. And so our buses today, with the Spanish, probably just had just under 200, so the buses are starting to crank back up again, and we can reach into our community. Our fourth bus should be here sometime, maybe the end of this month or the beginning of next month, and so we're really excited about that. Just all that to say, I like fall. I love summer, but I love when it's over. I really do, and we just get back into school, gets started. We had a good start to our school this week, a lot of new students, and it's just a really exciting time of the year. I hope you'll jump on board. I wanna share a thought with you this evening, and encourage you with something. Typically, I'm gonna tell you is to keep your Bible open. We're not really gonna use the passage in 1 John. It's kind of our launching point, and I'll explain that in a minute. But during our kindergarten graduation several months ago, Brother Joseph preached. He mentioned a couple of illustrations that got me to thinking. He was mentioning how that the Christian school was important, as it shields and protects our children from the things of this world that they are not currently equipped to combat. Now, that's not just people and so forth. It's also philosophies and different things. He used a couple of illustrations. The first illustration was of driving a car. Now, we understand that one day our children will grow up and they'll become adults and hopefully move out of your house, but as they get older, you eventually get to where they get to drive a car. And when our kids got their license, they drove a car. They were excited. I was not, because I knew that what that was going to do to our insurance bill. All right, but that's why our children. It's like, you're not getting your license until you're 18, and maybe I'm, you know, don't stand on my lawn type of guy, but it's like I'm not paying insurance for a 16-year-old. I'm not doing it. And so, the philosophy we couldn't have is say, well, you know, someday you're going to be driving a car, and so you might as well just figure it out, buddy, and you throw a 6-year-old the keys to the car. Okay, how many of you would actually do that? You would? That's because you're 6, okay? It's just not very wise. They're not ready for it. I believe the other illustration he gave was handling a gun. None of us would hand a loaded gun to our 4-year-old. Or for that matter, our spouse in most cases. But one day as they get older and they understand responsibility, they can have a gun because they would learn how to handle it. The point is this: our job, as he was mentioning, is to protect our children until they are mature enough to make it safely through the things of life which are going to come their way, which is dangerous. Spiritually, I'm speaking about. The problem is that many people have that weird and warped philosophy with their families spiritually. They will allow their children to be too close to things that, in their age and spiritual maturity, they may not be able to overcome. And by the way, as we mentioned this morning, as we talked about the flesh, the same is true for adults as well. We need to be very, very careful. The verses we used in 1 John are a starting point. About a month and a half ago, I think right before our family went on vacation, I preached a message on Sunday night about how to live a victorious Christian and a faith-filled life. And we used these verses from 1 John, which taught us that we're saved from sin by Jesus Christ. And because we're saved, we obey his commandments. And then when we do obey his commandments, it brings joy and not grief. And that if we are saved, we will overcome the world and will not be overcome by it. And by the way, that's why we can have joy in our life. We are to live in victory over sin and this world. And I mentioned that if we're going to live a genuine, faith-filled life and have victory, we cannot have the wrong mentality about grace, as many people do. Now, this is all introduction. The points will be a little different. There is some, and I've heard people over the years in our church state this philosophy, that how can our young people stand in the world if they are not around the world? Now, they will typically use that as a justification for maybe sending their children to a public school as opposed to putting them in our Christian school. We think that because we're sheltering them, that when they get older and they have to face the world, they are ill-equipped to face the world. By the way, that's erroneous. That's like giving a four-year-old the keys to my car. I got to be honest with you. I struggle when my kids get their driver's license to throw them the keys to our car. Fact of the matter is, I tried to be a good father. My daughter Jessica, she was the first one. I was going to give her driving lessons. She got two, and then I tapped out. I'm like, I'm done. We're not doing this. It scared me to death. And we were in a parking lot. So I thought, okay, Allison, you get a shot. And I took Allison to the parking lot at Cal State Long Beach, and I tapped out after one lesson. Now, my wife doesn't have this philosophy. I believe it was Allison, when she got her learner's permit, she'd never driven. She went down and passed the test to get her learner's permit. My wife let her drive on the way home. I'm like, no. No, we're not doing it. I remember we were at the house. Emily was a newborn, and they were all going to the store. My wife's like, do you want to go to the store with us? We're all going. We're going to take the baby. And I'm like, no, I don't want to go. You're all going. It's like peace and quiet. And then she's like, I'm going to let Allison drive. And I had this conflict. I'm like, do I really want my newborn daughter, Emily, in the car with Allison? I mean, if she gets in an accident, the others can probably survive, but she's like 4 months old. And then I came to a decision. I'd rather not babysit her by myself. And so they all went to the store. But we do that spiritually. We throw the keys and say, go have a good time and figure it out. That's why we're weak in education. We allow ourselves to be put under the teaching or philosophy of this world, particularly at a younger age, and it infiltrates our mind. That's why we are weak with our work. We will allow people and things at work to dominate our life as opposed to the philosophies and the principles of the Word of God. That's why we're weak with our peers, and I'll go over a lot of this. And that's really why we're weak with technology. And I'm not going to get on technology right now, but we cannot stick our heads in the sand. We got to be very, very careful. We got to understand what's going on out there. Well, you know, I got a safety latch on my child's iPad. That 6-year-old knows how to get around that. And that's why we're weak with our entertainment, the things we watch and the things we hear. But see, there's a balance to this thing. Because although that we are not of this world, we do have to live in this world. And as we live in this world, we need to see ourselves for what we are. Really, God left us in this world to be ambassadors. We are to be here to spread the love of Jesus Christ and get the gospel to this lost world with all of its craziness. We also are ambassadors. We're representing Jesus Christ. But here's the point. If we are to live successfully in this world, it will only happen because we are careful. It's because we're careful. If a person is not standing for Christ, it is not because they have not been kept from the world. It's because they were dabbling in the world and now they're full blown into it. And let me just tell you, and we'll get to scripture in a minute. Let me just tell you this thing where sometimes we'll have someone, their child will go to our school, and when they get out of our high school, they go to the world. It's not because they had the rules and regulations and the principles of the Word of God. It's because they didn't get it. It's because they were skirting around the issues. It's because although they were at our school, when they were not at our school, they were getting into things they shouldn't. That's very, very important. You could put our kid in your school for 50 years. But if they're at home getting into the kind of stuff that they shouldn't be getting into, it's not going to make a lick of difference. We've got to work together. We've got to put our children, and by the way, us also, but we have to put our children in a place that when they become adults, they've been trained enough in the Bible to where that they can see that which is garbage, they can see that which is harmful, and they have enough of a foundation they can go forward without getting caught up in all of the nonsense that our world spews. There are a couple, before we get to the points I'm going to make, there are also a couple other dangerous philosophies that try to spiritualize being tied to the world, and especially in our churches. See, this is where things have really gotten worse. Now, it's always been there, but it's getting worse and worse and worse. This philosophy and the things we're trying to shelter ourselves from so we can successfully live correctly and defeat the flesh, like we talked about this morning, are now subtly being spiritualized, repackaged, regifted, and brought into the church. Help us. I mentioned it before. We went to a church by our house. They were having this trunk or treat years ago. We don't go there anymore. Well, they hadn't have it, but we went there early, and they had orchestrated music on the out, and their candy was free, and I'll take their candy for our grandkids, get their bags full in 30 minutes, and let's go have dinner. And right before we left, the music switched to the Rolling Stones, Sympathy for the Devil. Now, that's what I listened to before I was saved, so I knew that song. I'm like, you have got to be kidding me. At a church? But we excuse it. We're trying to reach people. You're not reaching them. So here are a couple of the things. These are false philosophies. The first says, how can we reach this world if we do not understand this world? Now, what we mean by that, in a church sense, we try to justify what we're doing by saying we need to understand our culture, and here we go, use this culture to reach the world. Now, I read my Bible. That would be a good place for an amen, okay? I guess I'm a pastor, I should. I read it every January, whether I need it or not. I read my Bible. I've not seen that in the Bible. I've heard several times someone, they use the verse in Acts where Paul quoted a poet. Like, see, Paul didn't just, look, I've quoted Einstein. But they use that to say, so Paul didn't just know the poet, he was immersed in the culture. I don't need to be immersed in the culture to know it's garbage. I don't need to go to McDonald's to know that it's bad food. Okay, I've been there, I already know it is. But you understand what I'm saying? I can tell something's bad, and I don't have to live it to know that it's bad. And so the example, that's what a missionary does. A missionary goes to the mission field, and they learn the culture. Look, Brother Tongdi learned the culture of Laos. But he didn't go to their movies and all their garbage. He found out what their beliefs were. Now, if you want to find out, you know, look, in America we shake hands and a lot of the place, they like, you know, they bow and all that. That's culture. That's not listening to their music. That's not learning their garbagey ways. Okay? That's learning how they speak. We did that a little bit when we were visiting to start the church, you know, and we were going out there. You know, you go into their house, they want you to take your shoes off. You know, and they want you to eat their food. As long as it wasn't fish, I was up to it, okay? One of the new couples took us out in the very early days. They took my wife and I, and Jessica was a baby. They took us to a restaurant, and they got fishball soup. I hate soup. And I tried to tell the guy, oh, no, I don't think I want soup, and he wasn't having it. And he gave it to me. And I said, let me get some for my daughter. And I just, you know, poured like a dab in her bowl. And every time he turned, I shouldn't have done this. Every time he turned around, I like threw some into her bowl. I'm like, Jessica, eat your fish bowl soup. Oh, I guess she's not hungry today. No, I didn't lie and say, oh, it was delicious. Okay? But we're trying to learn how they tick. What's appropriate. We're not going and saying, hey, what are the sinful activities they're doing? Let's be a part of it so we can reach them. That's not how it works. Read the New Testament. I'm just of the belief that you reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. We're not changing our music and having, and I know they're all doing it now, having six or seven ladies up here, they all got their tight clothes on and they're bebopping around here and they think they're on America's Got Talent. We're not doing that. I'm not going to say who it is, but many years ago, someone in our church, they were trying to, and I wouldn't have done this, but they did it, and I like the illustration, so I'm not glad they did. But someone in our church kept, they were pressing someone that they were working, why don't you come to our church? Why don't you come to our church? And this guy goes, I'll tell you what, I'll go to your church, but you have to visit my church one time. And so they went. I wouldn't have done that, but okay. It was one of these rock and roll churches. And all the ladies in their tight, tight clothes over here, bebopping, and they're, anyhow. And after the guy, what do you think about our church? You going to come back? And he said this to the guy. He goes, I had a really hard time thinking about the Lord because of the way those girls were moving and the way they were dressed. How about you? If I'm not mistaken, the guy goes, yeah, you're right. Guys know. Guys know. If we could reach triple the amount of guys by doing that, we're not doing it. Because you know how you reach people? The gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation. Not some sweet little thing or not some something or whatever. The reason we need to understand our culture is not to conform to it so we can combat it. We don't need to be immersed in it. One of the things I did, maybe I was just irritated about the whole politic thing after November. I just cut all of my my social media. I was sick of it. I didn't stop reading. I cut it. I deleted it. You know, and I kept up with it a little bit. It was annoying, but I keep up a little bit with what's going on. I need to know. I just want to know a little bit what's going on, because that's what you're hearing 24/7. And be honest with you, most Christians are discipled more by CNN or MSLSD, any of those stations, than they are the Bible. But we have to be very careful, though. We get so immersed in what's going on. And then we feel like we have to bring that into the church to reach the church. And in some cases, I think they have good motives, but a bad playbook. Another one is, and that's okay, how can we reach sinners if we do not become friends with them? Now I am, and again, I want to be careful here. I am all about being kind and friendly to everybody. And I think you should. You don't run from people because they're not a Christian. That's nonsense. You don't not be friendly to people because they're Christians. They use the phrase from Jesus that he was a friend of sinners. But their friend of sinners is a little bit different. Jesus was a friend of the sinners in that he went after them with the gospel. He wasn't just buddying up and hanging out at the rotten places where they went to. He wasn't. I mentioned before in the early days of our church when I was still working in the warehouse, I was trying to reach the third shift group. We were the guys that loaded the trucks at the warehouse. And so there was five of us and we would play basketball on our breaks. And so we had a church basketball league, and I thought, what better place to reach these guys? And I'm like, we're going to start our own team, the Ingram Paper Team. Us guys got together, and we played in that league, and tried to influence them for the gospel. And by the way, one of those guys got saved and was leading Bible studies over there after I left. But I'll be honest with you, I made another mistake one time. They were the guys on the shift said, hey, let's go bowling after work because we worked third shift and got off. And I liked to bowl. I thought, you know, I don't want them to think I'm an idiot, you know, so I'll go bowling with these guys. And so after work, we went bowling early in the morning. And I'm like, this was a really bad idea. The way they were acting, they wanted to start ordering drinks, and I'm like, I'm done. Okay? One way I think was the right way. The other was not the right way. What we've done is changed that to like we want to be buddies with sinners. We want to, the reason we, and again, I'm not against them. Don't make you think I'm running from them. We love everybody. But I'm not going to go hang out at a place that's sketchy just under the guise of Jesus was a friend of sinners. If it's not good, thank you, Brother Chim. That would have been a good place for an amen right there. If it's sketchy spiritually, I'm not going. Well, they'll think that you're some kind, look, there's other ways to show love. But I'm not going to put myself in spiritual peril. But you know why we like to go do that? Because we enjoy the things they're doing. Let's just be real honest here. Very, very important. I'm going to be honest here, and I don't remember, but I remember we had years ago, someone was preaching a message about something, and they gave an illustration, and when they gave it, I didn't like it. They were talking about being a friend of sinners. In one of these countries, there was a missionary there. And what he would do is he would hang out with the Buddhists and he was friends with them. And he said after many years of doing that, when he died, they all came to his funeral and they had great respect for him. But there was just one issue. Not one of them ever got saved. I wonder how many other people he could have talked to if he wasn't hanging out with these guys. I'm not trying to be mean. But God didn't call me to hang out with people just to hang out with people so they think, well, that Christian's a nice guy, and I hope they think I'm a nice guy. God wants us to get the gospel to them. And if all I ever do is hang out with them for 3 years and I never talk to them about Jesus Christ and I never try to get them to church, there's a problem there. Now, all of this is an introduction to say this. And it's going to be gone. This is a two-parter. If we are going to experience the victory that Jesus Christ wants us to experience by his grace, it does require that we exhibit and practice a degree of separation in our life. We don't like that word. You're unusual. We don't like it. Oh, you guys, you're one of those. I don't even know what you mean by that, but if it means being careful and staying away from sin, I don't want to mess up. Remember, we talked about the flesh this morning. You know how hard it is to beat the flesh down when you're in places that are pushing you towards the flesh? It's really hard. You know, it's funny how we do that in every other area of our life, don't we? We'll practice a degree of separation to be careful in areas that have nothing to do with spirituality. Isn't that what we've learned since March of last year? Social distance. And by the way, if you want a social distance, I'm all for it. And the way some people are, I'd like to really like, can we make that 60 feet? Just kidding. But some people take it to a ridiculous extreme. My wife and I, we were going up north. I was preaching a couple places up north, and we were driving up the coast. We left a couple days early, and we're in Solvang. And there was a bakery there, so I was going to go in the bakery. And there was no restrictions at that time. And there was only three people in there, and it was a huge bakery. And there was this lady just standing blocking the door. And I'm like, can only a certain amount of people go in? She goes, no, I'm just being careful. She goes, I'm going to just go wait till one of them comes out. And I thought, okay, I'll do that for her sake. And then somebody walked and cut right in front of us and went in. And I'm like, forget that. I'm not going to wait out here for half an hour. But you know what? She was afraid of the virus, and that's okay. And you know what she did because of that? She took measures. We've done that now for a long time. But you know, it's funny how Christians will do that in every area but spirituality. And if you do it, you're a legalist. First of all, let me help you with something. If someone says they're a legalist, you might want to suggest that they not only read their Bible, but they actually study it. Legalism is adding works to salvation. It's not encouraging people to keep God's commands. That's called common sense. That's called being careful. And I understand it. We've all met people, they're so careful. They're over the top. And I'm not saying that, but you know what? It wouldn't hurt us to be careful. And we're going to look at a lot of scriptures that tell us to be careful. I'm not just pulling the rabbit out of our hat. We're sloppy and safely distancing ourselves from actions or individuals that would affect us in our Christian life. So what am I going to do? For the few minutes we have here, we'll finish it up next week. I want to show you some verses tonight that show that we are to be very careful in our relationships and in what we do. And that there are things God wants us to separate from for the sake of our spiritual health and so that we may experience spiritual victory. That's the whole point. The whole point is we don't need to get involved with things that help the flesh push us in the wrong direction. We saw that this morning with David, remember. We saw that this morning when we talked about Amnon, and Amnon had these goofy thoughts about his sister, his half-sister Tamar, and nothing would have ever happened if he was just fighting the fleshly thoughts, but when Jonadab came in and stirred his spirit, now it was two against one, and it was two against zero, and he was done. God wants us. These are very easy verses for us to understand. So we talked several weeks ago about God wants us to have victory in our Christian life. But one of the ways you're going to get victory is you've got to have some degree of separation from certain things in your life. So how does separation, how can we have to do that? There are several areas. First of all, because of our heart. Because of our heart. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Because of our heart. Proverbs 4, 23, we all know it well. I could have quoted it to you, but since we don't have a passage we're looking at tonight, I want you to see the verse. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. We've all heard that song. It's been sung here, right? Guard your heart. Brother Grandy, you wrote a other verse to it, didn't you? Remember, you sang it in college chapel one time, and he was singing another verse. I'm like, man, I never heard that in my life. What's he just making stuff up on the fly? And actually, he was. He wrote another verse to the song. Let's start with that. You know what the word keep? Keep your heart with all diligence. Keep means to guard, to protect from dangers. That's, and it's a form of the word we get the word watchman from. He's telling us we're to guard and protect our hearts. Okay? We got to be very, very careful. He tells us not only what we're supposed to do, he tells us how to do it diligently. But it is our responsibility to protect and guard our hearts from wrong influences. And we guard our home and other. Look, we guard our homes, we guard our cars, we guard everything that we consider valuable because we don't want it to be taken from us, stolen, or abused. And yet we're sloppy when it comes to our heart. The thing that's going to guide our life. Very dangerous. We're supposed to guard it with diligence. You know the word diligent means like a place of confinement, like a prison. That's telling us how we guard our heart. Think of a guard guarding a prison. They're trying to keep the prisoners in there so that they don't get out. They're confining them so that their danger doesn't spread further. That is how we're supposed to protect our heart, people. It's amazing how we are diligent to protect the things we have in this life, but how sloppy we are when it comes to protecting the things of our spiritual life, which really determine the direction and the outcome of our life. And all under the guise of grace. Show me in the Bible where grace is a license to do things which are sinful. Shall we continue in sin? That grace may abound. God forbid. Let me translate that for you. No way, Jose. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? I think that's pretty encompassing. I think that's pretty easy to understand. Not hard at all. Why are we supposed to guard our heart like that? Because it goes out of it are the issues of life. You know what the issues are? The boundaries. The escapes, the way we go forth. You see, what we allow into our heart will determine the boundaries that we place in our life. Some people have very, very lackadaisical boundaries. If this is the line to sin, they want to get right up in it, and the fact of the matter is they're going to cross over back and forth on it. And by the way, boundaries are a good thing. Your little Miho and Miha, they need boundaries. Well, they can just do this, that, and the other. No. They need, by the way, you need boundaries. I need boundaries. I have boundaries in my life. I'm not going to just do what I want. That's why all of us need a good dose of accountability. You know, well, I'm the man of the house. I do what I want when my wife lets me. You know, let me ask you, man, what if your wife came up and said, can I look at your phone? Would you let her? Bless God, doesn't she trust me? No, and I don't trust you either. And I don't trust me. That bothers me. I have people, I think something's going on in our family. It's like, I asked for the phone, they won't let me see it. Something's going on, I'm sorry. If you got nothing to hide, why wouldn't you do it? Boundaries. It'll determine our progress in life, how we go forth. The miseries we escape from. Thank God, when we guard ourselves and it changes our life and how we live and what we do, there is a freedom that comes from that. I've mentioned this, it's probably been a couple years, I'll mention it, but it's a good, several years ago, I get my blood work done every now and then, and they look at all the different numbers or whatever, but probably about 8 or 9 years ago, I did my blood work back, and they came back and said I had hepatitis C. Now, I knew what that went. I knew it. My wife said, I talked to one of the nurses in our church. C means you got it from being immoral, or you got it from drugs. You know how much that bothered me? Zero. She said, they're running it again just to be sure. I'm like, it's going to come back negative. I didn't even give it another thought. Why? Because I wasn't being immoral. And the only drugs I take are the vitamins my wife feeds me, and she said they're legit. The ones that she gave me with the needle, I got a little nervous with that, you know? I mean, like. And when it came back, guess what? It was a false negative. I could have told them that and saved them the money. But you know what? And I'm not being mean here, but for some people, that would have been an issue because of the way they live. Thank God you can escape all that. Just if you guard your heart. The problem is with this, once something anti-Christian lodges in itself in your heart, you form an emotional attachment which is hard to free yourself from. That's the issue. Once your heart gets caught up in something, and once that attachment's there, it's over. By the way, and I'm just giving illustrations. I'm not trying to be mean tonight, okay? But as a pastor, it's like I'm also not going to sit here and be quiet about things that are going to ruin your life. Okay, you may get mad at me, but I'd be more upset if God's upset with me. That's why we don't believe in teen dating. You teenagers, look, we're just happy if you brush your teeth twice a day. You're not ready for a relationship. And that stress that it brings, and also the look, if you're 14 or 15, and you find, this is the one for me. There is no way, now listen to me, there's no way you're going to make it to the marriage altar pure with that person. That's a long time. You want me to be real honest? Say, what, you've been lying the first part of the message? No. It bothers me when a couple can be dating for a really long time, years and years, and they're like, we'll just wait 4 more years before we get married. You want me to really tell you what I think? Sure, Pastor Myers, tell us. Okay. If they're waiting 4 years for marriage, they're not waiting for anything else. Or that guy's got some issues. We got to be very careful. And teenagers should not be dating. They're way too young. Pastor used to say it over and over. He said, man, we've got people off of drugs. We've got people off of all kinds of sins. But when a boy and girl that are too young get connected and the emotional attachment is there, it's over. You know, it's like that, you know, they put the light up there and the bug sees it. Oh, light. You know, it's like, forget, it's over. Game, set, match. And we're not trying to keep our teenagers and our singles from getting married. In fact, singles, we want you to get married. But you got to follow the right process. And you're not ready at a young age. You're not. It's not going to happen. You know what you should do? Enjoy being in high school. Enjoy it. So you don't have Valentine's banquets for your junior, your high schoolers? We do. The guys is on Tuesday, the girls is on Wednesday. They don't need it. As a parent, we even have a harder task than guarding our own heart. We are to do everything we can to guard the hearts of our children until they're old enough to take that mantle and do it themselves. Once they get a little older, it's like, you know what? Now it's your choice. You've got to decide on your own if you're gonna serve God and do the right thing. Many years ago, I think it was one of the Winter Olympics in the 90s, my kids were watching it. And you know how they do these, I haven't watched it in a while, but you know how they do these things where like between the events, they'll do like a story of one of the athletes. They did a story of a skier named Peekaboo Street. That's a really weird name. You know, who names their kid? When they said Peekaboo, I said, those parents must be like, you know, hey, Woodstock. Okay? And guess what happens when they interviewed those people? They were Woodstock. And they said, so what was your parenting philosophy with her? Did you tell her what to do and give her strict guidelines? They're like, nope. We let her do what she would want. Now listen to this philosophy. It's as ignorant as the day is long. They said, we just let her do what she wanted. If she did something wrong and she paid the consequences, we'd look at her and say, well, maybe that's not a good thing to do. And the announcer's like, oh, what a good philosophy. I'm like, what an idiot. I'd rather my kids learn that by not being involved in it. Oh, lucky you got hit by a car and you're dying. I guess you won't do that again. Why are we so ignorant? Not we, other people. Do you know when it comes to Christianity, the opposite of this verse is actually true? The guard is off. The guard is off duty. The gates are wide open and we allow anything in. Because, brother, we're under grace. It's hard enough to keep myself in line trying to do the right thing. I'm not going to bring that stuff into the church. We'll use anything, any means necessary, and anything they think will reach a crowd. And by the way, I want to reach a crowd. Because a crowd represents individuals. But if reaching a crowd means lowering what we're doing and putting in people in spiritual harm's way, I won't do it. I won't do it. I don't want to stand before God and say, why'd you bring that into the church? That's heavy, heavy, heavy. Oh, but it's cool, man. By the way, can I just say something that irritates me? I'm tired of 60-year-old pastors wearing tennis shoes, tight Levi's with slices in them, and T-shirts preaching, thinking they look cool. You look like grandpa going through a midlife crisis. You don't look cool. Dude, let's go to the gym. Like, take your Geritol. And by the way, I'm for being in shape. Don't get me wrong. Before we finish, I'm just going to finish with the first point. I have a couple I want to share with you next week. We have seen this warped philosophy ruin Christians. Let me give you one example and we'll be done. The contemporary Christian music movement. It's ruined churches. It's ruined churches. You're not going to have people that have a spirit of, you know, stand still and see the glory of God or whatever the verse is. I'm misquoting it. When you got girls in tight pants and guys that you know, they're little things and they missed out on their chance to be the Beatles playing their music in the background. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. By the way, you might want to study at CCM, contemporary Christian music, is disastrous. It gives, look, years ago, Brother Esposito did these video clips. I remember the video clips he'd do, you know, the culture clips. He did one on contemporary Christian music, and he's showing these Christian rappers, and I'm like, that's bad. That music's garbage. And he shows all these others. I'm like, oh, that music's garbage. And then he played some other group. I'm like, oh, I kind of like that. That's the kind of music I used to listen to before I was saved. So if I was a Christian, I gave into it, that's probably the group I'd listen to. But listen, it took me back. And it's not going to make you think about God. And let me just say this. You say, Pastor Myers, I can listen to that, and that's all I listen to, and I'm still loving God. Okay, why don't you listen to the CCM artists themselves? They always ask, what's your influence? Oh, you know, I like to listen to, and I'm really dating myself because I don't know the newer groups. You know, I like to listen to Led Zeppelin or you know, Blue Oyster Cult, whatever they listen to. That's my influence. I really like it. I want our music to be like that. It's like, excuse me? That's what they're listening to. I don't know if there's a Christian that listens to CCM music that does not listen to secular music. By the way, churches are bringing secular music in now too. It teaches the truth. And it goes with my sermon. You know what really should go with your sermon? The Bible. Over the last several years, contemporary Christian movement's been rocked with a lot of problems. They've had several of their stars come out gay. I'm a gay Christian. There's no such thing. Nowhere can you take any sin and attach it to Christian and say that's what I am. So if you can say you're a gay Christian, I can say I'm an adulterous Christian. I'm a drunkard Christian. Come on now, snap out of that. Churches are buying into that, by the way. They've had several, and again, I get these dumb emails and they tell me all this stuff, that have come out and said, these were guys, Christian music, big time people, songs about God, that come out and say, I no longer believe in God. That's kind of weird. What's going on here? Now, before I finish and I'm done, this is just a sidebar, you'll never rise spiritually above the level of your music. Let me just share that with you. If you're not listening to godly music, you're not going to be a godly individual. I dare you to prove me wrong, but you won't. You won't. Why listen to Bach? Okay, I don't think that's bad, but you know what I'm talking about. I'm going to listen to, you know, this stuff, and come on, it's just music after all. I don't listen to the words, and so you're in the car singing the words. By the way, whenever we try to teach something to children, you know what we do? We set it to music. Music. Let's be very, very careful. This thing right here guides everything we do in life. The Bible tells, you know, the world's philosophy is follow your heart. No, for the world, their heart is so full of junk and it's deceitful and wicked, they're in big trouble. And the heart already struggles as it is because the heart's part of that flesh we talked about this morning. We have to be very careful. We need to quit excusing things like, well, that's just your church and you guys aren't preaching the Bible. Show me that wasn't the Bible. No, by the way, and I'm done. When someone says, oh, you know, you're not preaching the Bible, what they're saying is we're preaching the Bible, they're just the parts they don't like. And they want to go to church where Oprah Winfrey's quoted more than Jesus. What's the point? We got to be very careful. If you are going to make it as a Christian and your family's going to make it as a Christian in the world in which we live, we're going to have to be careful. We just have to. Okay? Some of you are into health, right? You're not going to pump garbage into your body. You're trying to pump the right stuff. What about spiritually? I'm just saying, let's be careful tonight. Let's guard our heart. Let's be careful what we allow. Let's not lower the gate, lower the bars, open the door and say, come on in and regret it. Let's stand together tonight, if we may. Every head bowed, every eye closed, just for a minute. Every head bowed, every eye closed, just for a minute. We need to quit taking our cue from Christians, allegedly, who want to live a certain lifestyle, want to Christianize it. I'd have more respect for someone if they came to me and said, listen, I just want to do this because this is what I want to do. I can respect that. But to try to blame it on church, to try to blame it on a school, to try to blame it on this person, their parents, let's just be honest. If someone goes into the world, it's because that's what they wanted to do, and they were dabbling in it in the first place. And as parents, we have a heavy responsibility to do everything within our responsibility in our realm to keep our children in a good place until they become adults and they're spiritually strong enough to know what to stay away from. No one needs to go into the world and say, I'm going to tackle that head on. No. You need to avoid it. It's the best way to defeat it. But we're just letting everything pour in, aren't we? We're not very careful. And it's appealing. Don't get me wrong, it's appealing. But I don't want it's appealing. I want to be a Christian another 10 years down the line. And I hope that's for you. You may be doing well now. Where are you going to be 10 years from now? Where's your family going to be 10? And parents, when you walk away from God or you bring that stuff into your home or you get a little sloppy, you're not just hurting you, you're hurting the future of your children. Heavy, heavy hangs on us. Those little ones are our responsibility. Piano's going to play. If God spoke to you about anything, why don't you come? Why don't you come?